asked on emails the last 6 months or so, I try to be very accessible to my students all over the world, wherever they are, and in person when possible. They've asked me to teach a lesson on doctrine. What is doctrine? Because so many churches are saying that they don't teach doctrine. That in all reality, that is really not honest, because people do. I don't care what church you have. Usually, most non-denominational, non-doctrine churches are Pentecostal or Assembly of God or Charismatic. They, as long as you have the experience, that's all that matters. The experience. Well, let's look at some of the things that if people say that they believe in God, all right, probably 90% of the world of people believe in God, don't they? I mean, there's some atheists out there, but they're about 90% of the world believe in God. But what do they think about God? What do they think about God? Now, God is a doctrine, isn't it? What you think about God is a doctrine? He's a big guy up there. He's our big brother. He's not our big brother. Now, if you're a Mormon, God is your big brother, because they believe every male Mormon is a God in embryo, and that he will populate worlds. So the idea of God is a doctrine, isn't it? If a person believes in Jesus Christ, what do you believe about Jesus Christ now? I mean, what about Jesus Christ? Who is he? A good guy? The greatest philosopher of all time? What is he? What does the Bible teach about Jesus Christ? What does the Bible teach about him? It teaches that he is the God in flesh, doesn't it? That's a doctrine. The Muslims say that they believe in Jesus Christ. Absolutely, we believe in Jesus Christ. He's one of the prophets. But what they believe about Jesus Christ is contrary to the Word of God. He is our only mediator we have. He is God in flesh. He is the Son of God. The Muslim Confession of Faith, it says there is no God but Allah, and he has no companion. He has no son. And of course, Muhammad is a messenger of God. Well, Muhammad is not a messenger of God. He's a messenger of something else, but not God, because what he says about God is wrong. The Muslim doctrine about God is wrong. The Mormon doctrine about God is wrong. The Christian Science doctrine about God is wrong. And of course, if it's wrong about God, it's wrong about Jesus Christ, it's wrong about the Holy Spirit. Now, in these non-denominational churches that we have today that believe and teach that they don't teach doctrine, what do they teach? Most of those churches really emphasize on the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will not magnify himself. Who will the Holy Spirit magnify? It magnifies Jesus. Okay, the Holy Spirit magnifies Jesus. Today, people teach that those people in churches that teach doctrine are narrow-minded religionists. And they're only there to cause hard feelings. If you don't get God right, if you don't get Jesus Christ right, if you don't get the Holy Spirit right, you've got nothing. Now, the Latin word for doctrine is doctrina, or institutio. It's didasco in Greek, and dokio. It means to teach. Docile means easily taught. We should be docile. We should be very easily taught by God through His Word. Not by experiences, not by feelings, but by His Word. The Bible, Baptists have always said, is the complete rule of faith and practice for the Baptist Church. The sola scripta, scripture only, we have in the Protestant world. Scripture only. It is scripture only. We believe that the scriptures, that the Holy Bible tells us how to come to God. The Holy Bible tells us who God is, how to access God. It's God's instruction, mainly. It tells us who we are. As we look at this chart that I've stood behind for 50 years and look at that chart, we look up there and in eternity past, we see there was God. The oldest book in the Bible, or the oldest verse in the Bible, is John 1:1. In our K, ain ho logos, kai ho logos, ain proston theo, kai ho logos, ain theos. In the beginning, kept on being God. Or in the beginning, kept on being the Word. The Word there is Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because He kept on being God. Jehovah, He who shall become. A lot of people, I taught at Valley Baptist Church for over 20 years. Roger and Phil, if they had somebody causing trouble in their classes, they go Brother Jim's class. And they call me on the telephone and say, see if you can straighten them out or get rid of them, one or the other. I don't know how many times I've been told that. See if you can get them straightened out or get rid of them. They're causing trouble. You don't know how many people that sat there and wrote letters to the pastors telling the pastors how wrong they are on God. The basic doctrines of the Bible, like God, the Holy Spirit, the Bible. What is the Bible? We studied all these things before. What repentance is, what baptism is, what the church is. Soteriology, what repentance is. Now, to be in fellowship with God, we have to be on the same page that He's on, don't we? If He wrote the book, we can't take off and try to make it something else. I had several people in my class. I taught Sunday school class, the Areopagus class, and had a lot of single people there. Now, in single people, they have a lot of boyfriend-girlfriend religion. They're going there because they got a girl they're trying to attach themselves to. And so they'll come there. They don't believe what they believe. You wouldn't believe how many universalists, Unitarians that we had going to that church. Now, we could go into that, but basically, what they believe is they don't believe in hell. And hell is one of the doctrines of the Bible, isn't it? That's one of the Bible has more to say about hell than it does heaven. People come to church, they come there sometimes just to have fellowship with other people, which is okay. But they come there many times to spread their hellish doctrines. I never watched a football game in my life. You know that? All you people out there? I wouldn't have got done what I'd done if I watched football or even baseball or anything else. I have done a lot of time teaching and studying and writing. I've never watched a football game in my life, but there's a story behind that. When I was teaching Areopagus Sunday school class, before I got married anyway, I would go every night to the Monday night football. The only one reason I went to the Monday night football is so I could teach my students one-on-one what the Bible teaches about things. And in those were the hard shell, the hyper-Calvinist, and some universalists, two solid, completely different poles. But I tried to wrangle them with the Word of God. I don't argue with people, but I would teach the Word of God to man and until I fall over. And I did. I would go there and we'd be Monday night football at Lamp Post Pizza or whatever, and I would just teach and teach and teach and teach until it was all over. I couldn't tell you what games or what who was playing or anything else because I didn't care. I was there for one purpose, to indoctrinate my people, to make them sound in the faith. Some of them weren't even saved. They didn't have it together at all. But they wanted to convert other people to their ideas. A lot of people don't feel there's any need for doctrine at all, but teaching is very important doctrine. It's the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the two natures of the saved. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, these are all doctrines. The Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Now, the Bible is an intelligent book for intelligent people. Because God is intelligent and God made man in His image. Now, what does the word intelligent mean? It means that you have an ability to transfer some thought or idea or doctrine from one person to another. And you can understand and know that. I can teach you something and you can learn it. You can, in your intellect, you can understand it. I've talked about the triune nature of man and of angels and the trinity of spirits. They're dual, but the trinity and the three different phrases, the material, the intellectual, and the spiritual realm. I've taught about that, and I've had people in my class sometimes just say, wow! When the class is over, they say, wow! I could teach that now. I understand it. It took maybe a year for them to get it all straightened out to where their intellect would jive with the intellect of the Bible about that. There's basically a trinity of understanding in the Word of God. It's intellectual. God is intellectual. You are intellectual. Some people, when they're born into this world, only have a very limited intellect. We might call them intellectually challenged people. They used to call them, they were mentally retarded. I was a member of a group in high school called the Mentally Retarded Friends, the Friends of the Mentally Retarded. We would go help them. And they could have fun. On their level, you can only go what they can understand. You're communicating an intellectual communication with them in a limited way. But you're making their life more full. Intellectual element in the Bible. There is an emotional element in the Bible. But it has to be balanced. Many people only believe what they feel. I feel. Well, let's quit feeling and start listening. Intellectually, yes. Emotionally, yes. Isn't it wonderful when you know you're saved and you've been forgiven? I remember, and I know that he wouldn't mind me even using him, Bill Hawkins. Bill Hawkins went to a Free Will Baptist Church, and I tell you, that preacher got up there and told him every day, you got to do this, you got to do that, you die and go to hell tonight if you don't do this. And it's a hell-scared religion. Just a hell-scared religion. And he came to my classes, in my classes for 2 or 3 years. One time he came up there with tears in his eyes after the class. He said, Brother Jim, when I die tonight, if I die, I know I'm going to heaven. I never felt that. I never knew that before. I was always afraid when I went to bed that I'd die and go to hell. He said, I never knew whether I saved or not. He said, I know it now. I've asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins, and I've repented of them. I've asked, and I have that atonement that you've talked about. He said, I know that I'll be saved forevermore. I know that. There's a moral element in religion, of course. There's a moral element in it. Right and wrong. There's right and wrong in the moral element. Most of the world, the Islamic world, changes what's right and wrong. They change the moral element of religion. It's all right to kill people. It's all right to lie and to cheat. It's all right to do these things, because you're doing it for your religion. You go out, and of course their idea is the only way they're going to get to paradise directly is if they die in jihad. If they die propagating Islam or killing somebody. You have all of these suicide bombers. They're dying for Allah. And they wake up in hell. There's a moral element. True religion doesn't kill anybody. You don't go kill people to convert them. If they don't convert, then you kill them. Catholicism did that to the tune of 50 to 100 million people. Islam has done it for 270 plus million people that they've killed. That's not moral element, people. That's not morally sound. Something wrong with that. You don't go kill people and say you're doing it for religion. We got people all over America today killing each other. People going out and shooting people down. In Texas, a boy shot 19 little children and people and killed them. Guy went into a store in New York and killed a bunch of people there and wounded a lot. The Bible teaches that if you kill somebody, you are killed. An eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. If you do this, take them out and shoot them publicly. It is a deterrent to crime, and that's God's answer to it all. If they had public executions for this, it would be a whole lot of a deterrent to doing that by people. Now, the guy that killed 19 is dead. Good. We don't need to be running him through a trial or anything else. He did it. The guy in New York, why are they going to try him? They did it. He did it. Execute these people. There's a moral element in religion, and part of the moral element in religion is right and wrong. You'll go kill people. You'll go kill people, you'll go get killed. Simple as that. True religion is a mixture of all of these things, intellectual, emotional, and moral. Right and wrong. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All of these things that we have in the commandments. But I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about the moral element of right and wrong in society. You don't go force somebody to be converted to your religion because you have power and it's part of the state. You don't do that. That's not moral. That's morally wrong. God doesn't do that. The Bible itself is a book of doctrines. It starts out, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Ethan, Shemayim, Weh, Taharetz. In one of the beginnings, God had created the heavens and the earth. That's a fact. That's a doctrine, people. That's a doctrine. God created. It didn't happen. The universe is not eternal. It didn't evolve. God created and spoke it into existence. There are some principal characters in the Bible. They really lived. Job was really a real person. Adam was a real person. This is doctrinally. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, Adam was just a figment. It's just a parable. It's just an idea. All religions have ideas of how man was created. All religions have an idea of a flood where the earth was cleansed and all this stuff. But it really didn't happen. Yes, it did. We are really all from Adam and Eve. That's it. That's the only mother and father in the human race. There's nobody else. There was really a character called Abraham. That's a doctrine now. This is the doctrine. There was a character called Noah. There was a guy named Jacob. There was a guy named David. You'd be surprised how many people say David never lived. He's just it's just a legend. It's just a story. How many people don't believe that really Solomon really ever lived? Just read some of these biblical criticism books. The earth itself is a doctrine. God created the earth. He created it in water and out of water. The earth one time was water on one side and land on the other side. That is a doctrine. And the doctrine of the continental drift idea, or the creation of the continents, is a biblical doctrine. In the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. The flood is a doctrine. That's a doctrine. Now, how can you agree and go to church if you don't believe all these same things? How do you do that? Jesus was real. Paul was real. Peter was real. Now, there's a thing about faith in the Bible. A lot of people say, well, you know, God doesn't heal you because you don't have faith. Nobody has faith. Nobody musters up faith. That's a gift of God. For in grace you're having been saved through faith. And that faith didn't come out of you. It is a gift of God. Life and death are doctrines. If you go to Mary Baker Eddy, death is denial of life. They deny death. They deny aging. They deny all of this. The Christian Science, no Christian scientist ever didn't die. From 1800 to 1950 or so. They all dead. They're all dead. They all die. Death is a biblical doctrine. Eternal life is a biblical doctrine. The resurrection is a biblical doctrine. The resurrection. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ is a biblical doctrine. The rapture of the saved and all and the church is a biblical doctrine. The church age is a biblical doctrine. The age of the law is a biblical doctrine, and you've got to keep all of these separate. We're not going to spiritualize away the church age. We're not going to spiritualize away the millennial age. We're not going to spiritualize away the rapture. I've heard many people, the Old Testament does not teach the rapture. Does the Old Testament teach rapture? He gives us two examples, Enoch and Elijah. Yes, the Bible teaches the rapture. How many times Does God have to tell you there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth? Epites geis. El haaretz. Upon the earth. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's not something that the church brings in. There is really a tribulation period. The doctrine of the reality of Israel. Israel is a nation and God's only nation. Almost all of Bible prophecy revolves around the nation of Israel. Israel has been set aside now, but Israel is still real. It didn't go away. God will call Israel back together again, and they will go into their land, which they have done now. The Bible says that there is an Antichrist. The Antichrist is a doctrine of the Antichrist. There have been many Antichrists, but there shall be an Antichrist, the Antichrist. The doctrine of salvation is a very important doctrine. Salvation is not going out knocking on somebody's door on Saturday. Salvation is not graduating from high school and going out and spending 2 years on the mission field as a Mormon trying to tell everybody they're a God. The Mormons, they say, when you go out into a household and they start teaching you the Word of God, just shake your feet off, stomp your feet, and go run away. Don't listen to them. If you start feeling real bad in your heart, that's the devil. If they're telling you to repent and stuff like this, that's the devil working when you start feeling bad. It's not God, it's the devil. But what is it? It's the Holy Spirit working in their heart to lead them to God and convicting them. I remember one time, a long time ago, I was really close friends with some Jehovah's Witnesses. And one time, a couple of them come in and started working on me. They were missionaries, you know, the ones who were going door to door and all this. They had been through their little schools and everything else. And I went into John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18, and I started talking about hell, that it is a real place and everything. And they started crying. And they were, what do we need to do? What must we do? And then here comes some more Jehovah's Witnesses. And boy, I mean, it just went away. So close to salvation. So close to salvation. Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Jesus Christ is very important because you won't get to heaven without Him. You won't get to heaven without Him being you believing that He is God the Son, that He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, that He was in a grave for 3 days, and that He rose again. That's very important doctrine. The doctrine of eternal life, the doctrine of the death, the doctrine of hell and the doctrine of heaven. These are all very important doctrines. Heaven is the place you're going to spend eternity. It's not an imaginary thing. A lot of people say whenever, but when you die, you just go, your soul just goes to sleep. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says when you close your eyes in death, your spirit and soul go someplace. Heaven or hell. One or the other. The Bible teaches us to listen to the Word of God. It tells us to apply the Word of God to our lives. It tells us to believe. Believe the Word of God. How do you get saved? By the preaching of God's Word. You get saved by hearing the Word of God preached. That's how you get saved. And the doctrine of salvation. Salvation is not a progressive thing. It is an instantaneous thing. When you are saved instantaneously. Sanctification with your life is a progressive thing, but salvation is instantaneously. The Bible says, for ye are having been saved through faith. Faith didn't come from you. It is a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. But it also says, for we are God's workmanship, created unto good works, that we should do something about with our lives when we are saved. The Great Commission says, what? I know King James says, go ye therefore. It doesn't really say go ye therefore. It says after you've been scattered out. But what are you supposed to do when you've been scattered out? Preach. Preach the doctrines. Preach. Preach, preach. Preach. Baptizing, preach and make disciples. And then when you get the disciples made and you baptize them, you teach them to guard with the lives that which I have handed down to you, Jesus said. And what do you teach them? They teach them doctrines. 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 All of these doctrines are very, very important. Doctrines. After you go out in the world, make disciples. Baptize the disciples. Teach the disciples. And let the disciples teach and make other disciples. You're baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then it says, behold, I'll be with you even unto the end of this age. Unto the end of the age. We've got so many modern day prophets out there that's just going contrary to the Word of God every direction. And people are believing them. Because they aren't sound in doctrine. They are not sound in doctrine. You know, the Word of God will absolutely inoculate, vaccinate you against heresy. It will. But you've got to believe it. You've got to teach it. You've got to hear it. You preach the Word of God and churches are going to grow. They will. They'll grow. The Word of God says, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's a doctrine. That He came here. You know 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter? Paul said, I'll tell you again what the gospel is. That Jesus Christ came according to Scriptures, that He died according to the Scriptures, and that He was raised according to the Scriptures. That is basic doctrine. If you don't believe that, you don't have God. Simple as that. It's very important. I hope that you have out there that have asked me to teach this lesson on doctrine, I hope this helped you. The Word of God is where we find these things. If you want the doctrines of the Bible, it's on the website. Go to the web store. You can get it there. It'll help you. Learn the doctrines of the Bible. Our Father, we send this message out to you tonight. What is doctrine? How important is it? You know. It tells people who you are, who we are. Where we're going tells us about life, death, and eternal life, one place or the other. Father, please use your word to honor and glorify you and your Son. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.